Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I'm really excited. I get to welcome to the show a fellow techie. I'm a nerd, but that's exciting for me. Today I get to welcome Jason Elkins, owner of Transparent Social Media. With a background in relationship building, technology sales, and web design, Jason had a knack and a fascination with social media and its impact on the business world. I'm going to have so much fun with this. Jason developed Transparent, a digital marketing and consulting company that helps businesses connect with their audiences. And he does that using targeted social media strategies, marketing coaching, education, and writing. He spends his days helping businesses, artists, and entrepreneurs advance their business efforts, often during visiting at a local coffee shop. Jason, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm sorry I panicked you. My phone just completely went off the grid, and I had to run around the house and find another phone.
Wow.
So I'm
okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Adapt and overcome, right?
Oh, you should have seen me. I was running screaming through the house. Cats were scattering everywhere. I was like, no.
Perfect.
No.
That's anyway. A perfect intro, perfect start for our conversation about entrepreneurship, right?
I know. You have to make whatever's going to work, you have to make it work. I am so excited to talk with you. John Morgan is a good friend of yours. And
yeah.
You know, I was speaking with him one day after I had interviewed him, and he said, you have got to talk with Jason. I went, okay, I'm good. So thank you for showing up. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Humbled to be here. Excited about the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Listen, before I get started, I have a ton of questions for you. Can you tell people a little bit about yourself? Because you've got a great backstory how this all happened for you.
Yeah, some people get out a business plan and write how they're going to start their company and save money for years and make that jump. And this was, it was kind of forced entrepreneurship in a way. I really enjoyed working for the web design company that I was at the time. I'd been there for about 3 years. And we had kind of the 800-pound gorilla in a small market that had been growing really fast. And the owners, who were friends of mine, brought me into an office, and I was anticipating. They had talked about channeling all their sales efforts through me, and I was really excited about that opportunity. I walked in, and you could just kind of feel this tension in the room, which was odd. And I sat down, and they said, "Today is your last day here. We've made some changes in the company, and we have to let some people go. And unfortunately, you're one of them." And at that moment, you know, it's kind of hang heavy in the air for a second. But
no kidding, and I know your story, but my stomach hurt right then when you said that. I mean, I had a physical reaction to it, even though I knew it already.
Yeah, it's not a unique story right now. Unfortunately,
no.
This happens a lot where the confines that we're in when we're in corporate America seem comfortable but at that moment I had thought that I didn't know what the next step was going to be at the moment, but at that moment I thought, wow, I really had a great run with these guys, and we had developed some really good relationships and we had done some really good work, and I learned a lot. And I mm-hmm. shook their hands, and I thanked them for the opportunity to work there, and got my stuff, got my car, and drove home in this kind of dream state a little bit.
Did you throw up at any point? I would have thrown up.
I got a little emotional in the car. I don't think I've told anybody that ever, but
yeah.
My first call was to my brother, who's been a mentor of mine for a long time, and my older brother, and we talked for a minute, and he said, tell me the last time that you had trouble finding a job. Let's be honest. And that was, I'd done technical staffing years ago, and I understand the process and how to interview and whatnot. So that kind of calmed the fear for a moment, and walked in the door at 10 o'clock in the morning, and my wife turned around. She's looking at me like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, who died?
Yeah. So we just had a conversation. I said, no longer with the company anymore. They had to make some changes, and I was one of them. And she said, I really feel a piece about this. Maybe it's time that you started the company that you've been talking about forever. And
wow.
That,
so you had a great support system. You had your brother who could reframe your thinking almost instantly. And you had your wife who had complete and total faith in you. I mean, that's remarkable.
Yeah, I feel blessed in that. Dealing with fear is something that I help other entrepreneurs talk through, because it can be a struggle for all of us. Without those support structures, it's near impossible. It's near impossible to be successful in business.
Oh, great. So how did your wife help out? I mean, I love this story because, as you say, it's kind of an unusual happening where the people around you can instantly kind of help you just change your path almost in an instant. It sounds to me like once you spoke with your brother and then you spoke with your wife that you had some clarity. And did that fear drop away a little bit?
It did a little. We spent the weekend, and we're we've got some pretty strong faith roots. We spent the weekend, did some praying, and then I kind of shifted into networking mode, made a bunch of phone calls and talked to some folks and lined up some meetings. I actually had a meeting later that day with a friend that was in the social media realm, and just kind of got to work on putting some kind of the next steps in place, even though I really didn't know what they were at the time. But what I felt at the web company was that building websites and launching them is great. Businesses need that. But where most web companies lack a service offering is what happens next. What do we do once the website's done and out? Like that's in traditional businesses, that has been, okay, let's check the box now. We have a website and it's out there.
Right.
It should be doing something for us, right?
Yeah,
so
but that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. It's not if you build it, they will come society,
no.
Unfortunately. So I really thought that there were some things that I could do and that I was interested in and passionate about. And it started by just when I was working for the company, I would post, hey, we just launched this website. And I would post that on my Facebook page. And that led to more sales. So, I knew that there was something to these tools from a use standpoint. And that was, beginning of 2009 and 10 when I was doing that type of sales on my personal Facebook page. But then I started looking at things like Twitter and like custom Facebook pages. Maybe you could have a better offer there, and then how are people engaging in the conversation, having a conversation about businesses, and it just kind of has spooled up from there and led to all kinds of really cool things.
And you said something that is so important. I believe that we share a similar web development philosophy. I've been doing this since 2000, 2001.
Wow,
and listen, back in the day, I knew better than to cut a new website owner loose and just say, hey, thank you for the payment. Good luck. God bless.
Yeah, right.
I knew better, and I've got clients that have been with me since those days. We've gone through several, reincarnations of their website. We've added social media marketing.
Right.
We've added print collateral because I was always involved in their business and saying, you know what, that's kind of outdated. this is what's working now.
Right.
You just can't put out a website and go, hey, here we go. It's not going to happen.
Right. And the there's a lot of excitement typically around a new web launch for a company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I saw over and over the kind of the expectations and the disappointment after, even if you did a good job of setting expectations. You know, it's a can be a good size investment for a firm.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, kind of thinking through the what happens next and how are you integrating this into all of your other marketing really seemed like a good fit for someone that was passionate about that. And I had a deal in hand within about 10 days with a client that I'm still working with today. So, you know, I'm very thankful for the clients that I have, and I really enjoy getting close to them and
mm-hmm.
figuring out ways to really make an impact on their business and help them combine their digital marketing efforts to some offline stuff as well.
Well, it sounds like it was just kind of a perfect storm that worked out really beautifully for you. I don't know about you. I don't have a whole lot of patience for the poor, poor, pitiful me little crowd.
Yeah.
My attitude is, yeah, you got knocked down a bit, but, geez, unless you're dead, get back up and do something about it.
Yeah, and the mentors and the people that you surround yourself with just make an incredible
mm-hmm.
difference in that. You're right. If you spend time, I don't spend a lot of time watching the news.
No, me either. It's depressing, and I get mad.
Yeah. Yes.
I do.
Wow, that person did what? Are you kidding me?
It's like, where's your common sense, you moron?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched the Reba show? I watch very little TV, but, you know, Reba McEntire had a show way back in the day. And I love her Oklahoma accent. I just do. I think she's one of the most talented women. But she, when she's had it, she will say, you moron, and I catch myself doing exactly that. And I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, or purple. I don't care. They're all morons to me. So I don't watch it. I fix it. I don't watch it.
Yeah, it's you know, someone that can get up and do that every day, regardless of the circumstances. But, you know, over time, that's where the successes start happening. And it isn't an overnight
mm-hmm.
thing, for sure, you know.
Right.
You know, I still deal with cash flow today. This is not an easy thing to do by kind of being on your own or an entrepreneur with a team of people even.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the daily, the little things that you do every day that can kind of contribute to the successes that you have over time, for sure. And attitude starts.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of the key there.
And sometimes, Jason, do you find that sometimes you do something that to you is just small and it's easy? Somebody will say, listen, I don't know how to do this, and you just jump in and fix it for them because you can, because it's so simple for you and maybe quite difficult for them. Those little small things where there's really no exchange of money,
right?
You're just building up good karma in the bank as far as I'm concerned, and not even deliberately. I find at the end of the day, if I've helped one or two or 10 other people, I can go to bed happy, and it may not have contributed a lick to my cash flow, but I feel better.
Well, and I think that if you are feeling good about what you're doing and your attitude is in the right spot, then that will lead to more confidence, and confidence leads to more opportunities. So you're right. It is those little things, and sometimes it's not even necessarily a technical thing. It might be some words of encouragement to someone that's maybe tripped a little bit, or
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe dropping off some drinks or flowers for somebody that
mm-hmm.
You know, that's having either a win or a loss. You're right. It is those little things that can kind of that make big impact on your mental health, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, did we miss anything in your story? Because, like I said at the top of the show, you've got this great story. And I know people are going to say, okay, she interrupted him, and I wanted to know something. So, you know. And just so y'all know, I do that a lot. So if I have a thought, it just kind of pops out. But so you went home, you had your support system. You got up and you started doing something different. How did you develop your business philosophy? You've touched on it a bit, but would you mind expanding on your business philosophy and how it impacts your clients?
Well, it's going to sound really goofy.
It won't. Trust me, it
but
won't.
I really felt that if I could build a business based on loving on people and really truly putting the best interest that they have at the forefront, that mm-hmm. the money would come, that the opportunities would come. Like, I really felt that in my soul, that as I was walking away from this organization that I helped make money for and that I, you know, put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into, that at the end of the day, I don't want to be the guy saying, oh, it was just business, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, this was our policy, I'm sorry. That's the one challenge that happens with corporate America, and I get it. You have to have systems as your organization gets larger, and you have to be able to say no to somebody or say not today to someone. But from a daily standpoint, if I get up in the morning and I can spend my time with people that I love to spend time with, helping them do something positive for their business, I just believe it in my soul that the money will be there, and that's starting to show itself more and more and more. So my business philosophy is client selection is the absolute number one key to a happy person that's involved in some interesting projects. If you pick good clients, then you can spend the right type of energy with them. And once you've got a host of good clients, you also know what they look like. It's a lot easier mm-hmm. to find more after you have a few. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the philosophy points that I have, I guess.
And I love what you said about client selection. And you may have gone through this. I think we all have as entrepreneurs. Sometimes when you have those cash flow problems, you're just starting out, you take all clients. And
right.
Boy, that's not smart. And,
right.
And I've had some experiences, and I bet you have too. Do you have any you'd like to share? Can you share? No names,
well,
just share.
Sure. There was an organization that we were dealing with where every time the phone rang, I was anxious to pick it up. And the conversations were long over maybe a minor issue, and maybe the issue wasn't even our issue. But you can, especially in the beginning, you kind of do whatever it takes to get an organization. One company in particular, and that's kind of turned around now, so I'm more comfortable talking about them. But one company in particular is a name brand organization, someone that you would know, someone that everybody on the call would know. And I found myself in this position where I wanted the business so bad that I took a deal that didn't pay a whole lot. And every time this person called, I would answer the phone. It didn't matter what time it was or what I was doing at the time. So I trained them that I was the low cost,
right.
Do anything.
They did not respect
person.
You. Been there, done it.
Right. So
been there, done it. Yep.
Okay. So at that time, I'm looking at my family saying, "Hey, I have to feed them, and we have to keep the roof over our head. So these are things that I have to do." Thankfully, we've had several discussions now where we've set better boundaries. They're getting a better service level, but it's changed. It's changed the way that I look for organizations now and kind of try to vet who's going to be a good customer for me.
And okay, right.
It's not just because they have money or have a need.
So they have to respect your boundaries, and you have to respect theirs.
That's right. And the thing that I keep coming back to is that not every deal, and John Morgan and I have talked about this quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
not every deal is a good deal. And not every good deal is a good deal for me. So
I love that. And for people starting out, that's so important. And I know it's just, you need to take that client, you need to take that money. Sometimes,
right.
honestly, it's the worst thing you can do, but you don't know it
right.
until you've already done it, and then you're trying to get out of it.
Right. There was a gentleman I talked to recently that's got a seasonal business, and he spent a lot of money to get the business running. And he said what he really needs is an overall marketing plan. What he really needs is someone to handle basically all of his digital marketing and tie that into some print and some web work. And I could do that. I could facilitate it or do that work for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the red flags were I may be getting a partner. The red flags were I'm not sure what the season's going to be like. The red flags were, you know, I may just sell this whole thing at some point. Like, these are some red flags that came up during our discussion. So I have to look at, is my time investment going to pay off potentially for years to come? Or is this just a short-term cash infusion in the business?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is if I take that and the results don't pan out, then no one's going to be happy with that arrangement, and the money is going to be the money won't be worth the time investment or the headache that comes afterwards.
Right. One of my questions, and I hear this all the time from my VA group on Facebook, and you know, a lot of them are looking for clients. They want to know how to find clients and client retention,
sure,
which to me are two separate topics altogether. Once you find them, you should. I don't know, maybe this is just me, but retaining them really shouldn't be a problem if you're doing right by them. But that's just my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I hear all the time, Jason. People say, well, you know, I'm being lowballed, and they're asking me to, you know, cut my retainer fee in half, or they won't even let me give them a retainer. They want me to bill them after the work is done, which to me is a huge red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't do the work. You don't send your bill in after the work is done. You've already told them that you don't believe that your work is good enough for you to say, no, I work on a retainer basis, and this is what we do. This is what you can expect, and here are the guidelines that we both should adhere to make this a really good working partnership. It just trips people up all the time. I mean, what do you do? What are some of the red flags for you that when people, you know good and well, they don't want to pay you? And they're all but telling you, well, it's not worth it to me.
Right.
So how do you cope with that?
Well, one of the ways, and I understand people being sensitive, mm-hmm, to fees, and I am.
Sure.
I'll ask the questions. You know, what am I getting for this, and what, you know, what can you do, or what is there anything that I really want this, but I can't afford X, so what can we do for Y? And I think that's, you know, if you start describing to the customer what you're asking for is a Mercedes, but the budget you have is a used Escort wagon that's red and rusted, those are, if you kind of start to phrase it in a way that they can understand, like they're buying something else. Because I think when we're selling time, that people have way different perceptions about the value of an hour of their own time. So if we can phrase that in a way or position it differently, like we're buying another product, there are some eyes that open up during those conversations. Some of the red flags though that come up are people asking for maybe. If they don't ask for a time frame on a project, that's a red flag. Or, you know,
mm-hmm,
I'll pay you when this is done. Let's define what done means.
Well, let's
in
define
the web.
Why. Yeah. I mean, I don't work like that. I never have. But
right,
it's pretty common, and you see
it
a
is.
Lot.
Especially
and
people
accept that.
Yeah. So web in the web business especially, there are mm-hmm plenty of times when you know, maybe you get 50% up front or a percentage up front, and then the website is launched, but we're waiting on the client to give us one more image,
mm-hmm,
so then the site is quote-unquote done, but
right,
they're holding 50% of the money, and they're responsible for not getting the image back. That's a bad position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble, Denise, is sometimes you don't know those things until you're too far into the relationship.
Right. Sometimes you just have to cut bait, though. You have to just get out.
Right. Right.
I had one that was so bad, and it was a very painful lesson to learn. And I got the deposit up front, and we did over-delivered, which I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my client was certifiably insane, and I am not kidding. I mean, she really was. And she called me one night. She was on pain pills and alcohol, and we had a bit of a chat.
Wow.
And at the end of that chat, I had been looking for a way out of it. I could not handle it anymore. And at the end of that chat, I refunded her every penny she had paid me.
Yeah.
I mean, every penny. And I just, she called me 2 days later. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Right.
And I said, I am too. But we're done. We're just done. But because of who she was and because of the reach that she had in social media, she's quite a big name, I wasn't going to have her bad-mouthing me from here to eternity. I gave her back every time. It hurt. It hurt bad. You have no idea.
Yeah.
But I didn't need the bad reputation, and I would have gotten one. Through really no fault of my own, we did everything we could. But she had some substance abuse problems, and they affected her ability to communicate. And I'm being polite, but, to me, and I mean, I had to take money out of my savings account to refund that. But it was the only decision I could make.
Right. Yeah, that's a shame. I think, reputation means so much. And at the same time, even someone angry with you, what I found is, in my experience, every time, they have also been angry with a lot of other people.
Yes, that is true. I've found the same thing.
So I'm able to, again, kind of get up the next day, and it's very rare. In 3 years of doing this, I've had one situation that I would like to undo, and that's a pretty good record for the amount of clients we've helped. But that's why, again, client selection is
But you
a
have
problem.
To do the right thing. I mean, you really
do.
You just do whatever the right thing is, whether you have to take money out of your savings or you have to say, I am really sorry, I messed that one up. I mean, you have to take responsibility.
Well, and there have been a couple things that have happened that were beyond my control. There was a project we took on that was an SEO project for a product company, and they had a store of 1,500 items, and it took too long, and it was nobody's fault, but it just took too long, and I had offered and have delivered on a couple hours of consulting on the marketing side a month to make kind of reparations with that. So you're right. Sometimes it's taking money out of savings. Sometimes I take some time out of my life to go and make this right for somebody.
Right.
And that's a good point.
Well, you have to do it. I don't know that, it is important what it's going to do to your business, but I think it's more important what it does to your soul.
Right.
I mean, you have to look yourself in the eye. You have to do the right thing, whatever that right thing is for you at the time.
Yeah.
I know we wanted to talk a lot about one of the things that I'm the most passionate about, which is entrepreneurship. The world is in a mess right now. Our country is in a mess right now. People are having hard times. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs are popping up willy-nilly. I mean, it's just a great time. To me, I think it's a great time to be an entrepreneur. What is your take on and I know you've got this great article that you wrote, The 7 Dirty Secrets of Entrepreneurship. I love that title. Let's talk about that, if you don't mind.
Sure. I'm very passionate about it, and I think this is the best time. This is the best time for an entrepreneurial environment because of the tools that are available for every service that you need as a business, and the connecting power of social media puts you in a global market immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, so I think that with the tools available in market that we have right now, this kind of globally connected world, if you can find a niche, something that you do better than anybody else, then there's an audience out there for it. And
you don't
have to be the next Microsoft. You could be the next Denise, and that's great. You know, Denise could build a.
There's only one Denise.
Yeah, there's only
one me. And we have this conversation all the time as entrepreneurs. You know, people will say, but it's already been done. Honey, everything has been done. But you, you do it for your audience. You know, you're going to resonate with a lot of people. Other people are going to go, I don't like her accent. That's just going to be all there is to it. You know?
But that's fine. You know, somebody else will. That's okay.
That's exactly right. I mean, you have, in this era of relationship marketing, you build your own audience and you become the resource. You stand up and you help as much as you can, and they will come to you.
Right. But the article that I wrote kind of points out some things that nobody tells you when you start the business. And one of the first things that I learned is that it can be incredibly lonely. It can be incredibly lonely to run a company. And I had remembered some mentors of mine early on in my career when I was really focused on like technology sales. Some of the owners of these companies that I was dealing with, I became friends with, and they didn't have a lot of friends.
Well, we're so busy focusing on everything we're doing.
Right.
We wake up in the morning, we're doing this. We go to sleep, we're doing this. I don't know about you. Jason, I turn over a sticky problem every night. You know, you can call it prayer, you can call it meditation, you can call it whatever you like. At the end of the evening, or first thing in the morning at 1, when I'm getting ready to go to sleep, I will turn over something that I have not resolved to my subconscious for review. And I promise you, 3:18 every morning, I've got an answer and I've got to get up and write it down.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
that's good.
We're lonely. We don't sleep.
We don't sleep.
We're busy in our heads all the time.
Right. And what I've found is that the my BS tolerance is really low.
Right.
So even when if I go to one of my children's events or something at school, I'm even careful who I talk to there because I don't want to get into political discussion. I don't want to get into kind of negative mindset. I don't want to talk about, you know, it's kind of this this kind of wave of chit chat. It makes me a little anxious. So I try to avoid those things. And what I found is that there are other entrepreneurs that feel the same way. So a lot of the people that I network with or hang out with, if I have time, are entrepreneurs. So, yes, it's lonely, but you can find kind of some solace in that, in other people that are going through that same or that deal, those issues.
And so, I have a question to ask you. It's going to sound
kind
of odd, but do you find as an entrepreneur we have to be I'm an introvert. I'm a straight-running introvert, and I don't even try to hide it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I find that most people who are really entrepreneurially minded are introverts. You know, we're thinking, we're pursuing solitary pursuits. We're, you know, we kind of gravitate towards like-minded people. But on the other side of that, we're all very intuitive. And when you said, you know, your BS meter kind of goes off, mine goes ding, ding, ding all the time.
Yeah.
And I keep myself out of sticky situations with clients because I'm listening to them, you know, kind of like you did with the one that you mentioned a bit ago. And, you know, I think once you develop that trust in your own intuition and your listening, you can keep your business running pretty well as long as you don't get involved with clients who are just going to drain you.
Right. That's part of the that's part of the selection process, not for clients, not just can I help them, but also is this going to be a positive situation for me as well? And that doesn't just mean that they're going to pay you, and it doesn't just mean that they're decent to deal with. Are they, you know, I'm looking for character when I'm when I'm dealing with people, when I'm trying to go through a client selection process. And that's been that's been really, really key and really critical. Last night, I had some really good successes, big successes in my business this week. One of the people that I called.
Congratulations.
Thank you. One of the people that I called was a client. And I'm like, okay, we're going to celebrate together for a minute. And and it's an odd, like, they're part of the success. Part of it was something. One of the things that we did this week that really worked well with them was part of that success. But they were willing to celebrate with me on that, on the success of my business, because they care, and I care about the success of theirs as well. So,
right.
You know, back to your question, I was, before this business, I would never have considered myself an introvert. And
I remember, you are, though.
A little bit more now. I remember meeting with some companies and going with a buddy of mine who is an entrepreneur as well. We went to Starbucks after our meeting, and he sat in the corner and opened up his laptop. I'm like, are you not going to talk to me? He's like, I just need some space right now. We've had a long meeting. I'm like, what? are we not going to talk about what happened in the meeting? He's like, I'm good. So
I'd like him.
Yeah, you would. I've learned that.
I'm good for 59 3/4 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it. After that, my keys are in my hand, and all you see is my elbows. I'm out the door.
Yeah. As my focus has gotten better, I'm even more selective on coffee meetings and lunch meetings and whatnot, just because, you know, if I'm an hour and a half into a project, the next 30 minutes could be the best 30 minutes that I will have all week. So, yeah, I think, I just kind of went down a rabbit trail there, didn't I? I'm sorry.
I have this mental image. I'm just giggling. Sorry about that. I feel for the guy. I do. Okay, so the 7 dirty secrets, what are they?
So, first one was lonely. It's lonely. We talked about that.
Right.
The second one is, I just called manic. Half the time I feel invincible, like, you know, I'm doing this thing and things are going great, and then the other half of the time, like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. This is terrifying. So, the length of time that I am afraid now or anxious now is less, and the length of time between the times that I'm afraid is greater. But I don't think it ever. I'm convinced that it will never completely go away.
It shouldn't, should it? I mean,
probably not.
Fear is a great motivator. It also propels you to get up off your fanny and do something.
Yeah, right. Right. I put a kind of a silver lining comment in this article that said roller coasters are fun. I mean, that's kind of the ride that we've decided to get on if we're going to roll into a business environment for ourselves.
Right.
And which kind of leads to the next point, which was juggling octopus. Like, I feel if I'm not careful and I don't plan things well, then I'm going to feel like I've got 10 balls in the air and none of them, I'm not doing any of them very well. And there's a lot that we have to do to run a business. It's client acquisition and retention and billing and taxes and,
grocery shopping.
Yes.
Seriously, we do it all.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what happens is if you don't have a structure, and my Lynn, who actually you talked to last week.
Yeah, she'll be coming back too.
Yeah, she is excellent at laying that out and actually helped me structure some things. So when I talk to a new customer, I always tell them, all of my quotes are done on Mondays. So I don't schedule meetings on Mondays, or I schedule very few meetings on Mondays. And that's an office day for me, and I only send out quotes on Mondays.
I like that.
And
I haven't done that.
Even,
I may have to emulate you.
Even if you and I are talking about a project and it's Monday, you're not going to get a quote until the next week. And I'm just I'm okay in my spirit that if the time that it takes me to get that together for you kills the deal, that's okay. because I have to have some order in what I'm doing. So that's an example.
And it also gives you time to really, and I'm guessing here.
Yes.
So does that also give you time to take a look at their current business model? Because that's what I do. I will tell people, listen, I need to look at what you have in place.
Right.
And then I need to look and see what's missing. And
right.
That's how I come up with, you know, what we can do for them. And, you know, because like you, I don't just turn over a website and say, here you go, good luck.
Right.
And I want to make sure that their social media is involved, that literally when they get a website from me, it's a turnkey solution.
Right. Smart. That's really smart.
Yeah, well, it's the only way I'll do it. Yeah. I won't do it otherwise.
Yeah, I think probably the Monday thing is partly because, you know, in my mind, weekends are infinite. Right? We can get a million things done on a weekend. Now, that's not true. There's something about a Sunday night where I can be productive if I haven't been able to catch up on something during the week. So, yeah, absolutely. I've given myself some time, and I've also set expectations. That's an expectation piece for the client, too, to know that I'm not going to be able to just do anything every time they call. So I'm trying to build that on the front end with them.
I had the same problem. I had to actually retrain clients to not call me during dinner time or at 3 in the morning or on weekends. It was difficult because I had set them up to think it was okay.
Right. Right. You do anything when you start it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're a chronic overachiever, you want to be available, but
right.
There does come a point where you have to say, do not pick up that phone.
Yeah, John.
And at 6:30 at night, I'm not picking up the phone. You better be my mom. That's the only person I'm talking to.
I'm making a note to myself not to call you in the evening or 3 a.m. So
3 a.m. you might get me, but 6:30, no. I know it's
totally
a pathetic life.
it's
a sad, sad life I lead.
It's pretty bad when you're logging into your computer and you see your buddies all on Skype and you're like, man, it's 1:30 in the morning. I know they're working on a project right now.
It happened last night.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Was that you? I was doing that. I'm afraid. But okay, so what are some of the other steps? Because I keep interrupting you. I'm so sorry. I'm having so much fun with you.
No, this is great. This is awesome. Another one that I mentioned, I call it face hurt.
You call what?
I call it face hurt. It's killing me. That was the title of that number. And the reason I put that up there, there are things that you do when you're running a company that you wouldn't do if you were working for a corporation that has a really comprehensive health program. So, like going to get your teeth cleaned every 6 months or, you know, maybe you've experienced, I've got a friend that's an entrepreneur that experiences back pain pretty severely, and there are days when, you know, this thing looks like a death device, and, you know, he kind of hangs upside down in this traction thing to kind of help his back, and he's not going to go pay $30,000 for surgery for that.
No.
So he's looking at some other alternative, you know, healthcare situations. But, you know, I had to have some dental work done and waited till the absolute last second, which is not, I would not recommend that to anybody getting dental work done, by the way.
No.
You know, a lot of pain and more work than was necessary probably. But my kids needed dental work, so they went first. And, you know, so those are some things that you don't think about as when you're starting a business, is that there are going to be some sacrifices that you make that are kind of off the radar, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have a good insurance plan unless you go buy it.
Right. Right. And even a good insurance plan doesn't have great dental. So.
No.
You know, so then if I've got $2,000, am I going to spend that to get the crown and the cap, or am I going to buy a new laptop? Because I really need a new laptop.
Oh, so, you're going to get the laptop. Come on.
Right, exactly.
Is that a real question? This is how we do this. I know. Yeah. I've been there. Trust me.
Yeah. So there's some things that you just kind of you need to work through ahead of time or have an understanding ahead of time that there may be you may be waiting for some things to do as far as your health is concerned just because of the dental plan. And then one of the things that and I know that you and I've heard you talk to other people about this, the idea of a home office.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to shut that door.
Yeah, it has been a real challenge for me, and the in the development of this business, I did a lot of meetings. I actually had my business plan when the business started was I'm going to have 100 cups of coffee in 100 days, and I went out and I met.
Are you writing the book, right?
Yeah, that actually,
what a great
you're
book
probably the
title.
20th person that's said that. Yeah, it's in the works. I've got.
Well, there you go.
The idea was if I took 90 days, a little over 90 days, obviously, and worked it really hard and just went and met with people to see how I could help them, that's a catalyst for, that's a kickstart to a business. I've seen other salespeople and other business people put this program into place, and that's been real humbling and kind of exciting to see that it has a life of its own and has kind of grown into I'm not going to say a movement because it's not that big, but I've seen other people use this technique successfully, and it's real humbling and cool to watch that happen.
Not bad.
But I worked at coffee shops. Like that's where I spent my time working, and I had some routines down, and I had a good headset, and I knew where all the plugs were at all the local coffee places. I knew the times that it wasn't as busy, so I really didn't need a real good space, very good space in my house because I spent most of my time working through coffee shops, and that got old. After about a year, I could not find productive space there. So and what happened is I just kind of transferred that process to my home, which was where's a plug, when is it not going to be as loud in that area? Bad idea.
No kidding.
It seemed like a good idea, but it was a real bad idea. So sometimes I'd work in the living room, sometimes I work at the kitchen table, sometimes I work in the bedroom, sometimes I work in the laundry room, because I have a laptop and headset and a phone, so I would just kind of travel from space to space, place to place, and only recently have we kind of separated out half of a living space, and I've got just a wonderful office. I'm actually writing an article about the change that it's made in my productivity. It's incredible, the change.
Right. Yeah, and it is. I have somebody that I often refer to people, but she's a great graphic artist, and she was working in her basement. Mm. And her kids had access to her all the time, her husband, her in-laws, and
right.
Nothing was getting done. I said, honey, you need a wall. More than that, you need a door.
Yeah.
And she did.
Right.
And her productivity just skyrocketed.
I really attribute the last month or so. It's been like a new business. And I greatly attribute a lot of that to having a workspace that I just love to be in.
Well, you feel like a grown up for me, you know, mostly, but you also set those boundaries. I mean, don't you?
Right.
But you also set those boundaries, like this is where I work. You know, I'm not playing catch in here with the dog. I'm not, you know, watching cartoons. This is my workspace, and there's a mindset that goes with that.
Absolutely. You know, and again, my husband was really, she would really spend time talking with me and other entrepreneurs about make sure you've got a space that you go every day. And I really didn't feel absorb how important that was until I had one. And,
it's so important. Like you, when I first started out, I worked in my bedroom
mm-hmm.
because it was the only spot That didn't work out so well. You know, one person's sleeping, the other one's trying to work, and it just didn't work. When I bought this house, I have a dedicated
office. Honey, I'm editing
a video.
It's
never been a bedroom.
Yeah.
Do what now?
It's okay, honey. I'm editing a video, or you know, the noise and the whole deal. I know.
It's horrible. You know, you just don't get much done. And when I bought this house, I have a dedicated office space. It's never been anything but an office.
Nice. Yeah.
And I love it. It's actually between this room and the kitchen are probably where I spend the most time. I do go to bed sometimes, but I'm only there for 3 or 4 hours. So, but this is literally where I live, in my office.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of the nicest rooms in the house, I'll be honest with you. It's a very nice
room. It's funny, you know, we need some new flooring. And, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that we could really use. And my wife was giggling the other day. I brought home a plaque and I brought home, you know, some things to dress up the spaces. She goes, oh, I see how this is going to work. You know, the office is going to get the love before the rest of the house gets the love. Honey,
and
the office
exactly
will contribute to the love of the rest of the house, trust me. So
there you go.
But that's been a big change. And, you know, I used to dread driving to Nashville. I live about 20 minutes north of Nashville, and I've had jobs in Nashville and Brentwood and Franklin, which are all further south, and I've had jobs in all those locations, and I used to just think, gosh, if I just had a home office, you know, I would be way more productive, and it would solve all these problems. Well, it comes with problems of its own, so we just have to be aware of that if we're going to start something. But I also I really enjoy the ability to slip away for a little while, you know, taking breaks here and there, and being able to get out and kind of use the productivity or the 2 hours that I'm not spending commuting to hang out with my wife or you know, go pick the child up from school early or something like that. It's you know, there's some awesome benefits, obviously.
Yeah, there are a lot you can be very flexible with it. But here's the thing. And you'll probably learn this as time goes on, you know, with your new office space. You also have to, it's very easy to become a workaholic because you're so excited about what you're doing, your clients love what you're doing, you're bringing in more business. There comes a point where you have to step out. I literally, on the weekends, have trained myself to close that door. Not that I can't open it again and not that I won't open it again.
Sure.
But it's a visual cue to not work all the darn time.
Right.
Because I am a straight running workaholic.
Yeah.
And if I have to stop just for that split second before I turn that knob and go, do I really want to go in there? Sometimes the answer is yes. You know? And other times it's like, you know, go dig a hole. It's a nice day. Get your butt outside.
Yeah, do something.
So,
right.
Yeah, I have that chat with myself. But, you know, that workspace is so, so important because it is where you exist most of the day.
Well, if I walk out of that space, I can actually not be thinking about what's the next project. It is a mental cue for me.
Yeah.
And when I was in the living room or in the kitchen or wherever, it was not like I was sort of plugged in all the time. And that's a dangerous thing for us. And I've got the same disease that you have. You know, when you're doing what you love, you can work 20 hours a day. It's not a, you know, you just need 4 hours of sleep, maybe.
At least.
Yeah.
If I can get four, I'm good.
Four.
If I do six, woohoo. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do it in, I'm like a cat. I just cat nap. I sleep for 2 or 3 hours, and then I'm up, and I sleep for another, you know, maybe hour or two. If I sleep a solid 8 hours, I'm either sick or, I just can't, for the next day, I'm walking around banging into walls. I'm so groggy.
Huh.
It just doesn't work for me.
I wonder if other entrepreneurs do that. I've taken naps.
You know, we ought to run a poll because I'm willing to bet most of us do that. Yeah. I'm willing to bet that I'm not the only one. And I don't consider it insomnia. I don't have trouble getting to sleep. I just have trouble staying asleep.
Yeah, if you have trouble staying awake, that's the big issue, right?
Right. Oh, my I've got the windows open. It's a gorgeous day here, and the trash man is outside. So if you can hear noise,
barely.
The window's way across the room. I don't want to put you down and go over it there.
Fine.
So. Okay, I know we have a couple more in the seven. I think there was one about cash flow too.
Yeah, that's been a challenge. For a while, I had a wonderful business partner, and he handled all of the financial aspect. And his he had a really strong philosophy about making sure that we got a reserve. And even though he and I are not partners on paper any longer, we still do some projects together. But that has carried over into all the business dealings that I'm doing now, and it's really wonderful to go, oh, you know, I need a plug-in for the website, or, gosh, I need a lamp for my office, or I need to buy this module for something, or let me try this new app or something, and just not have a worry that the money is going to, you know, that the money is going to be there. And a lot of times those things aren't real expensive. But even a, you know, $300 tax bill that you missed 2 months ago, to be able to write the check for that, I guess the message is go without in your personal so that you can not be anxious about the business accounts.
I agree. And you know what I did early in the day? I just went and got a business credit card. And what I do is I put all of, you know, I have recurring expenses for Infusionsoft and, you know, some of my client management software, and those go on that business credit card. If I need some kind of plug-in, and I'm a great PLR person, I'm always digging around for PLR, at the end of the month, I just pay that off. So instead of me pulling it out of a bank account, I put it on the credit card, and then I pay the credit card off every month.
Right.
So it's
and,
all,
and
you know, the record is there, and I haven't had
right,
to.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good way to track everything.
It is.
Okay. Jason, we are out of time.
Believe
we've got
that.
Four more minutes. Wow. Okay. I know you have one more thing on the seven, so tell me what that is.
It never ends. It doesn't. And this is one of the challenges that we have with our clients, especially when we're talking social media or digital marketing, because in the past, you know, let me do the pamphlet and now my marketing's done. Or let me launch the website, now my marketing's done. No, it's just getting started.
Yeah, what about mobile? What about, you know, Twitter? What about all the rest of it?
Exactly. It just never ends. And when you're working on those projects and you bring that as part of maybe a service offering, it never ends for you either.
Mm-mm.
So that's something that I've learned. Like, I need to take time to take my kids out to dinner. They're 12 and 15. Or my wife and I actually have to have – like date nights, and you got to have those set times, because it's so easy just to slip into that. I don't know successful entrepreneurs that just, you know, take long vacations and long breaks. You know that, and John Morgan is probably the king of reminding me, why are you doing this? If you're doing this for your family and you're doing this so that you can have more time and have a better lifestyle than you could if you were working for somebody else, take advantage of it. Go see a movie during the day. Hang out with the in-laws when they come over, you know.
But, you know, I don't know about you, but when I first started out doing what I do, I would feel guilty when I would do something like that.
Oh.
It really bothered me that I wasn't working, and I thought, okay, Denise, you're sick. You need to talk with somebody.
Right, yeah.
I don't think
this is right. That's a really good point. You do need to talk to somebody. You need mentors, and you need – maybe you need a coach. I mean, you need to have these people. And I've called – this is going to be really silly, embarrassing thing. I've called somebody to say, hey, there's a movie playing right now that my whole family wants to go see. Is it okay if I take a 3-hour break from what I'm doing just to go do that? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, go do that. You know, and because we get in this mode where it's like, we've got, and I'd like to think of myself as an intelligent, hardworking savvy person. Sometimes I can't make those decisions on my own when it comes to my own business. I can make them for you.
Oh, yeah. I can tell people what to do all day long. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Look, I've hired business coaches just because I'm too close to it. And my business coach the other day had a long talk with me about a website that I've owned for a long time. I'm emotionally very attached to it. And what she was suggesting had me going, I don't think so. And 4 hours later, I had to call her back and say, okay.
No, you're right. Yeah.
I know. I would have never thought of what she came up with. It was brilliant, and I hated it. But 4 hours later,
it wasn't
your
idea.
I was just too emotionally attached.
Right.
And I just said, no, that's no. I felt like a little kid. No, Mommy, no. But she was absolutely right, and I had to mea culpa all over the place. But you just get too close to it, and sometimes, and here's the thing, and we're not streaming anymore, but we are still recording. What happens when you do what we do, you work from home, and you work remotely, I work with people I've never met.
Mm-hmm.
Who have become great, a great, great part of my family almost.
Right.
But it's so easy to get to feel like you're existing in a vacuum. If you don't have that mentorship set up or you don't have groups of trusted people that you can go to chat with, oh boy, it can get very, very bad.
Yeah.
So those relationships are so critical.
That's been, that alone has been a huge key. For me, John, who we've mentioned several times,
is John
critical.
Morgan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got, and it's interesting too. These people that I view as mentors are now we're doing business together. It's been interesting, you know, people that I leaned on for advice or information. Steve Chandler is a brilliant marketing guy. Somebody you should talk to.
Oh, good.
He does a lot of destination brand and marketing, and we're working on several projects together. And, you know, but he is somebody that I would call if I had questions about something.
Right.
You know, but there's very few people that we can allow to do that, to kind of breathe into our businesses and into our lives. But, man, when you find them, they're so valuable. It's just so valuable.
Oh, they're critical. And a lot of people, I think, this is a whole nother topic. You will come back, right, please?
I would love to. Awesome.
Okay, good. You see my little trick there? I wait till you're on the phone and then you'll come back, huh?
Yeah, great.
You can't embarrass me.
I can't
saying,
say no,
no
right now.
No. Because if you do, I'll just cry all over the radio. But,
well, you could also edit it to say that I said yes, right?
No.
Pull a yes on something that I said earlier. No. Just slip it in there.
Seriously, I don't even go back and listen to these things. I have so much fun during them. I don't, you know, I don't need to listen to it. Sometimes I do, but not often. But here's the point I wanted to make is that, and I think this is very, very common because so many of us come from a corporate background or we've worked in somebody else's business, and we're kind of taught just in that environment to keep your ideas close to the chest. Because if you accidentally say something that's really cool, a great idea, in the lunchroom, somebody's going to snatch it, take it to the boss, take credit for it.
Mm.
That is a shame, but it also does not work for people in our environment because our competitors, quite honestly, more often than not, become our collaborators if you work with them properly.
Correct.
They are different from you. They have a different delivery system than you do.
Right.
I mean, many people in the virtual assistance industry and the web development industry have worked with me on projects. And I welcome their input.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I had some of the biggest accounts that I have right now are because a friend competitor was unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
So he would call and say, can you do this? I'm like,
right.
I can. You know,
right.
Are you sure? Yeah, I don't have the cycles right now in my business to handle that account. But I want them to be with somebody that I trust. I mean, that's
exactly.
An incredible referral when that happens.
I do the same thing. I mean, and, you know, those are your angel clients. And we'll talk about that another time, too.
Yeah.
We're now officially, I mean, we've got a lot to talk about, actually.
That
Listen,
was fun.
Before, it was, and thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. There's my garbage truck again. The beauties of working from home, I'm telling you.
Yeah, right.
There he goes. Well, listen, Yeah, well, my grass was just cut last night, and it smells so good, I wanted the windows open. Where can people find you on the web?
Right now at wearetransparent.com. Wearetransparent.com.
Okay, and I love that name, and before we go any further, and I know we're out of time, but we are still recording, what does that mean, we are transparent?
Yeah, I should have, we probably should have covered that earlier. I have, again, I have this philosophy about loving on people, and part of, kind of...
That's a Southern boy for you, I'm telling you.
That's right. My father's from Pikeville, Kentucky, so that kind of bleeds into me a little bit. I really feel like if we can say the things that are on our minds and be honest with the people that we're working with, both when it's something bad happens, we got to take responsibility for it. If something good happens, we got to remind them that it was our idea, or we want remind them that it was their idea, or if there's a billing issue, we need to deal with that. I've just felt that people get into this position of defensiveness and let's just own it. Let's just own the situations, and there's a transparency that happens. And I kind of got the word from my faith circles. I really think sometimes a church on Sunday is like a Halloween. Everyone's got their mask on, and everybody's fine on Sunday. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Everybody is perfectly fine on Sunday, and they leave church without having told anybody about anything, or maybe asked for some help or mentorship or food, maybe. I don't know what the need may be.
Right.
There's a lot of pride and that goes along with this concept. And I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be any different on Sunday than I am on when you see me at a business meeting, or I'm giving a presentation somewhere or speaking somewhere, or something that you find out that I've written, or I want it to all kind of have this transparency, this honesty in it. And I tell stories in writing, and there's an honesty. When businesses start to reveal some of the stuff that's under the hood, I think people can connect with them in a much deeper, more emotional way. And
yeah.
I'm seeing...
And social media is perfect for that, too. You want to be personable, but not personal.
Right.
There's a big difference. It's a fine line.
Right. But I've been learning how to ride that line for businesses and helping them to find their voices in this more transparent way. And that's really the only way that I can help with even a status update project or a newsletter. I still have to be able to talk in the voice of the customer.
Right.
So that takes
effort. I do the same thing.
Okay. Yep. So that takes effort.
I do.
And you have to get close and spend time, and there's a lot of trust that's involved in that. And that's all kind of points to this, the transparency mindset of how we go about doing our work, and especially with social media. So that's where the name sprung from. And I've got even in the meetings that I have now, people kind of grin and say, well, let me be transparent with you. So it's kind of this brand that has bled over to my client relationships, which I'm very humbled by and thankful for. It's exciting to me.
So I love that. So essentially, you are who you are 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
That's
you're not
that's
putting up a persona. You are who you are.
That's the goal. And I picked some of that up from my father, and he was a little rough around the edges, still is a little bit, but you always got the same him all the time. And I really love growing up and seeing that he didn't put on different clothes when he went somewhere, or he was just always going to be himself. There were times that I was embarrassed maybe about something that would happen as a kid.
Well, as a child, that's your job.
Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, but I really respect him for that, and have always felt that businesses could get along so much better if they were selling products in more of a way that's transparent, if they were selling services in a way. So mm-hmm. the clients that I'm signing on now are really attracted to that mindset and having success in that. Not everybody's a perfect fit for me, but the ones that are, I can really help.
I love that story. And thank you so much for staying with me over time. I know you're busy. Listen, I am going to call you as soon as we're done here, and we're going
okay.
to set up another show, if you don't mind.
Great. I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, I have really enjoyed it. And, I mean, your insight into your business is just phenomenal. Thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And you can find us in iTunes. Just type in my name. And this is Denise Griffiths and the fabulous Jason Elkins wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.